السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الكلام كلام الله، وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أي عباد الله، احذروا ولا تغتروا، فإن الليالي والأيام لا تزال حبلى بعجائب ما أنتم سامعون، فإنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. عن أنس بن مالك وأبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنهم أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: سيأتي على الناس سنوات خداعات يصدق فيها الكاذب ويكذب فيها الصادق ويؤتمن فيها الخائن ويخون الأمين وينطق الرويبضة قيل ومن رويبضه؟ قال الرجل التافه يتكلم في أمر العامة. أخرجه أحمد وابن ماجه والحاكم وقال الألباني صحيح الإسناد. أيها الناس، ما أفاقت الأمة من الجهد الكبير الذي لحقها جراء صدها للهجمات الشرسة من أعداء الله على ثوابت من الدين، هي ضمانات الأمة في بقائها عزيزة قوية متميزة، حتى تفجع بجرأة عظيمة من شخصيات في مراكز عالية في الأمة يفترض أنهم وهم في هذه المراكز أول وأولى من يدافع عن هذه الثوابت، غير أننا لا نكاد نفيق من صدمة حتى نفجأ بأخرى ربما كانت هي أقوى من سابقتها، على حد قول القائل: وظلم ذوي القربى أشد مضاضة على المرء من وقع الحسام المهند. فجئنا بالأمس بمن يقول إن يسير الربا لا بأس فيه، وتلا ذلك قول قائل لم ينزل في الغناء شيء قطعي يدل على تحريمه، ثم من يقول بجواز سفر المرأة بلا محرم لحجج كثيرة متباينة واهية، وآخر يقول برضاعة الزميلة لزميلها في الوظيفة ليخرج من الخلوة، إلى آخر يقول إن طاش ما طاش لا بأس فيه لأن من فيه هم أبناؤنا، ثم آخر يقول لا بأس بتقبيل الزميل لزميلته، وآخر يقول إن تعاطي سجارة واحدة أثناء الصوم لا يفطر، وآخر يقول لماذا تفرقون بين الجنسين، فلعل أن يجد أحدهما في الآخر غايته فيكونان أسرة مسلمة، وآخر يخرج على الناس بشيء عجيب على واجهات التلفاز فيقول للناس ولا أدري على من يرد، أهم على العلمانيين أم على علماء الدين، يخرج على الناس ليقول إن تحريم قيادة المرأة للسيارة لم ينزل في الأنفال ولا الأعراف، ويأتي آخر فيجيز للاعب كرة قدم الظهور في دعاية لمكينة حلاقة يضعها على خده الحليق الأملس بدعوى أنه لم يجز له التحليق، ثم وبعد كل ذلك يأتي من يقول بأن اختلاط الجنسين ليس بمحرم خلى الخلوة، وغطاء الوجه ليس بواجب على المرأة، ولكن قدمها واجب عليها تغطيتها مخافة الفتنة، فإن الفتنة الواقعة من القدم أشد على الرجال من أوجه النساء. فقه لا أدري من أي اتجاه جاءوا به، وعلم لا أدري ماذا هم قائلون لربهم عند سؤالهم عنه، شيء يدعو للنحيب على أطلال أمة لا تستجيب لأمر باريها ونصح نبيها، إذ يقول الرب عز وجل: وإذا جاءهم أمر من الأمن أو الخوف أذاعوا به ولو ردوه إلى الرسول وإلى أولي الأمر منهم لعلمه الذين يستنبطونه منهم، ولولا فضل الله عليكم ورحمته لاتبعتم الشيطان إلا قليلا. ويقول نبينا صلى الله عليه وسلم: سيأتي على الناس سنوات خداعات يصدق فيها الكاذب ويكذب فيها الصادق ويؤتمن فيها الخائن ويخون فيها الأمين وينطق فيها الرويبضة. قيل: ومن الرويبضة؟ قال: الرجل التافه يتكلم في أمر العامة، أي في أمر الأمة. انظر إلى تصنيف النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم للناس في زمن عج فيه المرض وأطبق على جنبات الأرض سنوات خداعات تخدع كثيرا من الناس، وكم هم كثر المخدوعون اليوم بهذه الأقوال حتى انبرى لها مدافعون. سنوات خداعات يظهر فيها الناس ما لا يعرفه العامة فيقبلونه، ويحاجك أحدهم بأن هذا دكتور، وهذا صاحب مركز كذا، وهذا مشرف على موقع كذا على الشبكة، فكيف يكون منه الخطأ؟ وإن هذا والله لهو المقصود بقوله صلى الله عليه وسلم سنوات خداعات، يصدق فيها الكاذب ويكذب فيها الصادق ويؤتمن فيها الخائن ويخول فيها الأمين وينطق الرويبضة. كلمة جدت على الصحابة فلم يعلموا معناها، فسألوا النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وما الرويبضة، والرويبضة تصغير للتحقير، يعني الرويبض أو الرابض، والرابض هو الملتصق بالأرض. قال الرجل التافه أي الذي لا قيمة له، وإن كان ظهر للناس أنه صاحب شهادات ومراكز إلا أنه عند العلماء لا قيمة له البتة، فهو غير معروف ولا مذكور عندهم، فإذا اجتمع أهل العلم كان هو منهم بمكان البواب على بابهم. قال الرجل التافه، تافه حيث لم يستفد من علمه، تافه حيث جعل علمه سلعة يشتري بها إما أموالا أو رضاء جماهير أو غير ذلك، فهو بحق تافه، ولا والله لا أعلم أحدا تافها بقدر ما يكون مثل هذا الإنسان الذي يقرأ عز وجل في تقريعه لليهود ولا تلبس الحق بالباطل، وقوله سبحانه لليهود أتأمرون الناس بالبر وتنسون أنفسكم وأنتم تتلون الكتاب أفلا تعقلون، وقوله سبحانه لهم في سياق الآيات ولا تلبس الحق بالباطل وتكتم الحق وأنتم تعلمون. وهل بالله عليكم يمكن أن تكون هذه الأيام التي عناها النبي الكريم عليه الصلاة والسلام غير ما نحن فيه من زمان الفوضى الذي أصبح يفتي فيه من لا يستفتى، ويجيب من لا يلتفت إليه، ويتكلم الرويبضة الرجل التافه في أمر العامة في الدماء والأموال وغير ذلك، تارة لإرضاء شخص ما، وتارة لإرضاء غرور نفسه، وتارة غرة منه وجهلا، حتى يظن نفسه عالم عصره وفريد زمانه وواحد أوانه. كم من الغزائية اليوم المحسوبين على العلماء الربانيين وما هم منهم، فاحذروهم احذروهم واصبروا مع وعلى علمائكم، واستغفروا الله إن الله كان غفورا رحيما. الحمد لله الهادي إلى أرشد سبيل، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له هو حسبي ونعم الوكيل، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله الصفي الخليل والهادي الدليل، عليه وعلى آله وصحبه أفضل صلاة وسلام دائمين إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، عباد الله، يقول رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن الله لا يقبض العلم انتزاعا ينتزعه من العباد، ولكن يقبض العلم بقبض العلماء، حتى إذا لم يبق عالما اتخذ الناس رؤوسا جهالا فسئلوا فأفتوا بغير علم فضلوا وأضلوا، أخرجه البخاري ومسلم من حديث عبد الله بن عمرو بن العاص. نعم، نعم يا عباد الله، فإنه إن ترك الناس الرجوع إلى العلماء الحق الذين هم في انتقاص زمانا بعد زمان، صار أمرهم ولا بد إلى من يسوسهم على الضلال فيوردهم المهالك. وانظر إذ نحن اليوم في زمان الإعلام كيف يجترئ أقزام على الفتيا وعلى القول على الله بغير علم. وانظر إليهم فتون عليهم كأن، وانظر إلى الناس يتهافتون إليهم كأنهم ليس فيهم من علماء، فلا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. فماذا عساه يريد من يأتي بقول يخالف فيه أهل العلم في مسائل ليس على من سلك فيها مسلك أهل العلم من بأس، بل قد أتى ما أمر الله به في محكم التنزيل بقوله سبحانه: ومن يشاقق الرسول من بعد ما تبين له الهدى ويتبع سبيل المؤمنين نوله ما تولى ونصلي جهنم وساءت مصيرا. يقول الإمام ابن كثير رحمه الله تعالى: وقوله تعالى ويتبع غير سبيل المؤمنين هذا ملازم للصفة الأولى، ولكن قد تكون المخالفة لنص الشارع وقد تكون لما اجتمعت عليه الأمة المحمدية فيما علم اتفاقهم عليه تحقيقا، فإنه قد ضمنت لهم العصمة في اجتماعهم من الخطأ تشريفا لهم وتعظيما لنبيهم صلى الله عليه وسلم انتهى. نعم يا عباد الله، تجمع الأمة على وجوب غطاء وجه المرأة، فينبري منبر بالقول إنه ليس عليها بواجب، وتجمع الأمة على تحريم الخلطة بين الذكور والإناث، فيأتي آت ويخرج على الناس في الإعلام الرخيص اليوم ليقول للناس إن الاختلاط لا بأس فيه. فوا عجبا، هل يرضى هذا المسكين الموهوك أن يجالس امرأته أو أخته أو ابنته إلى جانب رجل وهو ينظر؟ فوالله لقد نزعت الغيرة من صدره. هل يرضى أن تخرج امرأته إلى جواره في سيارته سافرة والناس ينظرون إليها، أم أنه سيحارب ويقاتل ويضارب كل من ينظر، ويترك زوجته تعرض مفاتنها للناس؟ أيها الناس، اتقوا الله في أنفسكم وأهليكم، فإنكم موقوفون. ولا تسألوا كل من هب ودب، فإنكم والله عن هذا الجواب الذي تأخذون مسؤولون. يقول الله عز وجل: يا أيها الذين آمنوا، يقول الله عز وجل: يا أيها الذين آمنوا قوا أنفسكم وأهليكم نارا وقودها الناس والحجارة عليها ملائكة غلاظ شداد لا يعصون الله ما أمرهم. فاتقوا الله يا عباد الله، واحذروا من كل أفاك عليم مبين يخرج على الناس بأقوال وآراء شذت عن أقوال وآراء العلماء الربانيين المعروفين كأمثال إمام عصره ابن باز رحمه الله، وفقيه أواني ابن عثيمين رحمه الله، ومفتي الديار السعودية الحالي الشيخ عبد العزيز آل الشيخ، وهكذا علماء كابن فوزان والغديان وعبد المحسن العباد وغيرهم ممن هم كثر في زماننا ولله الحمد، ولكن الناس عنهم معرضون متهافتون على أصحاب القنوات والإعلام يجرون إليهم ويركضون لسهولة الوصول إليهم كما يزعمون، والحقيقة أنها لكونهم يصدرون لهم فتاوى ترضي طموحاتهم وآرائهم. فاتقوا الله يا عباد الله، فإن الموت آت والنشر حق والقيام بين يدي الله لا مناص منه. عباد الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. فاذكروا الله العظيم الجليل يذكركم، واشكروه على عموم نعمه يزدكم، ولذكر الله أكبر، والله يعلم ما تصنعون. الحمد لله، الصلاة والسلام على رسول الله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن استنى بسنته واهتدى بهديه إلى يوم الدين. ما بعد، brothers and sisters، حياكم الله. To the translation of this khutbah, which we began with khutbah of Hajj, and then said, our people, be careful and do not get influenced as the nights and days are pregnant of very wondering things of what you are going to hear. Verily we are all for Allah, and to Him we are all going back. As in the hadith reported by Ahmad, Ibn Majah and al-Hakim, and authenticated by Albani on the authority of Anas ibn Malik and Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhum, who said, verily Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there will be a time, there will come a time on people that contains of years of deception. And in those years, the liar will be accepted as honest, and the honest will be treated as a liar, and the one of deception, the deceiver and the cheater, would be considered as trustworthy, and the trustworthy one would be treated as untrustworthy. And in those years, the Ruwaybidah will speak. The Ruwaybidah will speak. The companions asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is the Ruwaybidah? He said, Ar-Rajul al-Tafih. Ar-Rajul al-Tafih means the man has no weight according to the people or in the eyes of the people. And he speaks in the matter of the Ummah. Our people, the Ummah of Islam has just came out of the coma and tiredness that happened to it due to the major defense that it took against the very aggressive attacks from the enemies of Allah upon the principles of this deen, which are the guarantees of the survival of this ummah, honorable, strong and recognizable. Up until the ummah was shocked with bold people and positions amongst the ummah that's supposed to be respected by them, and they should be the first ones who defend these principles. However, we never get away from one shock to get shocked with another one, which might be even worse than the one before it. Just in the near past, with someone who said that the little riba is permissible, followed by one who said singing has nothing revealed about to say it is forbidden, to another who said that the woman can travel without a mahram for so many reasons that he made, which are all weak and not strong enough to stand for us to counsel the ruling of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who said that it is forbidden for the woman to travel without a mahram. For another who said that breastfeeding the female workmate to her male workmate is the best solution to come out of the khalwa, so they are not both found alone in the workplace, as which is khalwa muharrama. But for her to give him her breast is not haram, is not forbidden. Subhanallah. To another who said that one of the TV programs is not haram because all the actors in there are from our children, and that is really wondering, can the fatwa be changed from people to another? This is the first time we hear this kind of fiqh. To another who said kissing between male and females, as long as they are workmates, is no problem. To another who said that smoking one cigarette only during the day of fasting is not considered to be a breakfast. One only. So be careful, don't take two. But I don't know, is it a long one or a short one? Two short ones would be enough? I don't know really. We need to ask this great and grand faqih. To another who said that praying in the masjid in congregation, jama'ah, is not wajib, although Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that I would have commanded someone to lead the prayer, and I go with some men with me carrying sticks to burn the houses of those who do not come for Salat al-Jama'ah. Yet this gentleman, this great and grand faqih of his time, because he carries PhD, and his PhD in management, not in religion, but yet he, mashallah, come out with this fiqh, grand fiqh, to say that it is not wajib, so we have to close the masajid or leave it yani for someone who doesn't have a house to come and stay, or maybe they can use it as a club. I don't know what masajid are assigned for if it is not for salah. Do we fast in the masajid? Do we give zakah in the masajid? Do we do hajj in the masajid? The masajid are only for salah. Are only for salah. And this gentleman come up with an idea, very brilliant idea, to fit this time, that it is not obligatory to go to the masjid. For the man,
Because we know that it is not obligatory for women. Maybe he would say it is obligatory for women, but not for the man. Because the man is tired at work and she is resting house, so she has to go walk to refresh her blood by walking. These nonsense fatawa from these kind of stupid people who are considered to be great ulama, the amma, the regular people, the common people know, and they look to it amazing. What is that? And then another one come to say, why should we separate, why should we segregate between men and women? Why? In the school, in the college, in the workplace, why we should separate them? Why? Maybe when they are together, one young man sees a young woman and they love each other, then they get married and they get a Muslim family, mashallah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not know this technology. He did not know this technology. So he could not have built the Muslim family. Subhanallah. For this great faqih to come and say that let them be together. So maybe, and yes, there is a risk. He did not say there is no risk. We might have 90% illegitimate children, but yet we still have 10% legitimate children, no problem. Subhanallah. And another said, in a TV program, he was interviewed, and he is one of those who are very famous. He published more than 1 million print of his book, and Kings and President took this book, which contains nothing of the Dalil, nothing of the statements of ulama. Nothing. Thick book. And he comes on a TV program to say that women driving a car, the ruling of it is not in Surah Al-Anfal, it's not in Surah Al-A'raf, mashallah. But those ulama, the like of Ibn Baz, Uthaymeen, who said it is forbidden, masakeen, they did not know Surah Al-A'raf. Their teachers only taught them Juzu Amma. They never come across Surah Al-A'raf. They did not know. He thought that these ulama are masakeen, did not know, so he wanted to teach them. But unfortunately, after they passed away. As if he said that when they were alive, believe me, this one will melt like salt in water. But when those great ulama passed away, rahimahumullah, now too many insects come up on the surface now to consider themselves. And by the way, this guy, very wondering. Very wondering. In the 90s, they used to make takfir against singers. Now he gave a poem that he made to one of the worst singers. And recently, in an interview of one with one of the news, local newspapers, he said that he cannot hide. He left to one of the sports clubs. So he's following and watching his best team. MashaAllah, and he's alim giving fatawa. MashaAllah. He has so much free time. And then another one came up with something very strange. A famous footballer called him to ask him, oh my grand sheikh. So and he's now very happy. This guy, whatever he asks, I'll give him. He said, grand sheikh, you're the alim. This one, the questioner, lives in Riyadh, where Al-Sheikh, Fawzan, they are all there. He cannot go and ask them. But he found this guy in Qasim. Why? Because he knows that, the fatwa comes as per your relation. Huh? He says to him, one of the famous companies of shaving machines or blades asked me to do advertisement for their products. Is it okay for me? He said, yes, it's okay. And one of the TV interviewers, the interviewer who screen shared, asked him, how come you said that? Did you say that? He said, yes, but not exactly like what he said. I said to him, yes, but don't shave. The guy is clean shaved. The footballer is clean shaved. He's clean. I never ever saw him with beard. I asked all these guys who follow football. They said, this guy never, and unfortunately, this guy was caught in a crime. Honor crime. But yet, he says that, yani, just to put the blade like this for a commercial and to put the blade like this on his cheek. So what is he going to do? Let's suppose there is a beard. What is he going to do? Clean his armpit? I don't know. Is this yani a way of thinking that the ummah is stupid or what? And another one, come and say that the pre-mixing is not haram, because in Mecca you see people are pre-mixing in tawaf. MashaAllah. And by the way, Ikhwan, one of the ulama refuted this saying, and he brought the proofs that during the time of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the tawaf wasn't pre-mixing. The women were segregated, separate. The men were close to the Kaaba and the women far. Not every man with his wife like today. No, but it was separated. Yani, although today it is mixed, but it is the haram. Who will come there to look yani, for a woman? Except one whose iman is very weak. Yani, are we going to compare the haram and the remixing as they say it, as they call it? It's not a remixing. Everyone is with his family. And they are doing tawaf, crying for their sins, fearing Allah. Is it similar to, mashallah, remixing in the school and in the college, and in the market, in the hospital? So now, the best places which Allah likes the most, the masajid, is exactly the same as the worst places which Allah hates the most, which are the markets. To this scholar, if he is a scholar. And he says that the face of a woman is not obligatory to cover, but her feet, be careful. Don't put the men on fitna by exposing the feet of the woman. Because we men die for the feet. But we never get attracted to the face. And that's why now the makeup companies are making lipsticks for toes and powder for the ankles so the woman can attract. What a stupid saying is that? This wallahi makes the one who knows the ilm look to this ummah and cry for it. Cry when you come to see only very deteriorated and abandoned houses of the town you used to know. You come to a town in which you grow up and you know very well this is the house of so and so, this is the house. But today, only dogs running around. Only wolves running around. No more people. These houses are abandoned. Deteriorated. This is the exact image of the ummah today. The Quran is there and printed so widely. King Fahd, jazawallahu khair, has established a complex especially for printing and distributing this Quran in many different languages. Yet this Quran is being ignored. Only they read it in the when they have somebody die. And they just ignore it. The Sunnah today, Prince Naif, jazawallahu khair, every year he has a prize, he has an hour for those who serve the Sunnah. Those who serve the Sunnah by their researches and studies. At this time, we still ignore the Quran and Sunnah and go to very irregular sayings and rulings. Isn't that very strange? Ignoring what Allah Ta'ala said in Surah An-Nisa, Ayah 83, وَإِذَا جَاءَهُمْ أَمْرٌ مِّنَ الْأَمْنِ أَوْ الْخَوْفِ أَدَاعُوا بِهِ وَلَوْ رَدُّوهُ إِلَى الرَّسُولِ وَإِلَى أُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْهُمْ لَعَلِمَهُ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَنْبِطُونَ وَمِنْهُمْ وَلَوْلَا فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَتُهُ لَاتَّبَعْتُمُ الشَّيْطَانَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. And whenever a matter of fear, of security or fear came to them or approached them, they immediately spread it. While if they have returned it back to the messenger and to those people of authority or power and power of knowledge. So they will know, those amongst them who can extract the rulings, they will know what to do in such matters and cases. And the Prophet ﷺ, as you hear, said, there will be years which are years of deception, where the liar would be considered honest, and the honest would be considered liar, and the one who is known well that he is untrustworthy would be considered and treated as trustworthy, and the one who is really trustworthy would be treated as untrustworthy. And then the Rawaybida will speak, meaning speak gives fatwa like what you hear. Examples, only examples of these fatwa. So if it is not these days, if the years that Rasulullah described are not these days we are living in, then when? Then when? And this time, the fatwa is a kind of mist today. Everybody gives fatwa. And everybody goes to everybody. It is a big mess. And the Rawaybida speaks one time to please someone. He gives fatwa to please someone. Although he knows that either it's not the truth or he knows that he doesn't know nothing about it. But he has to speak. Imam Malik was the Imam of Medina. And he said to the man when he came with 40 mas'ala from Morocco. He came from Morocco. Traveled all this distance to Imam Malik to offer him these issues and questions. Imam Malik only responded to 4. He said, "Ya Imam, I have 40, 36, what I'm going to tell the people?" He said to him, "Tell them that Imam Malik doesn't know the answer of 36. Simple. But today, show me one who say I don't know. Please show me one who say I don't know. And even if he says it today, because they come up as one of the people said that they come up on the screens more than the actor and actress and singers. And maybe more than the news interviewers or whatsoever. Maybe today he said, I don't know. Just to, be twinkle. And tomorrow he would tell the interviewer, ask me this question. And tomorrow he answers. MashaAllah, in one day and one night, he gone through all the books of knowledge. SubhanAllah. And sometimes they see this fatwa to please himself. How come I say I don't know? Let me be mature now. Let me say my word. And sometimes it's because of his ignorance. He thinks that he knows, but he doesn't know. He does not say to please anyone, but because he is ignorant. He did not study the knowledge well. So now he thinks that, oh, this is the ruling. And tomorrow he will find all the ulama said different. Then he come and say, well, this is fiqh. Everyone has his own opinion, mashallah. Imam Malik knew, or Imam Abu Hanifa knew, Imam Abu Hanifa now. He does his ijtihad, mashallah. And in another khutbah we mentioned the hadith that Rasulullah said, as reported by Bukhari and Muslim, in the authority of Abdullah ibn Amr ibn As, إن الله لا يقبض العلم انتزاعا ينتزع من العباد. Allah would not take the ilm from the chest of the men, but Allah Ta'ala take the ilm by taking the ulama, by causing them to die. Up until he, Allah Ta'ala does not leave no one alim, no single alim, so the people will have to ask. People will have to ask. So they are going to ask someone who's jahil, and he's going to give them fatawa which is wrong, and he will mislead himself and mislead them all. This is the problem today. This is the problem today, and it is getting worse if we don't return back to the people of knowledge, who we know well that these are the people of knowledge. And these people of knowledge, the truth people of knowledge, are getting less in numbers. Getting less in numbers. Day after day we see them dying, dying, dying. And new modern ulama coming up. This ulama, even to the common persons today, they are very amazing. They are going somewhere we don't know. Somewhere we don't know. Allah Ta'ala said in Surah An-Nisa, Ayah 115, وَمَنْ يُشَاقِقِ الرَّسُولَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ الْهُدَى وَيَتَّبِعْ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ نُوَلِّي مَا تَوَلَّى وَنُصْلِي جَهَنَّمَ وَسَاءَتْ مَصِيرًا. He who opposes the messenger after the guidance is clearly forwarded to him, and he chooses a way other than the way of the believers, well, Allah Ta'ala said, we'll let him go to the direction he chooses. And in the day of resurrection, we'll just put him in the fire and nowhere else. Imam Ibn Kathir rahimahullah Ta'ala said in his tafsir, he said, and the saying of Allah, وَيَتَّبِعْ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, this is a matter that relates to the first description, مَنْ يُشَاقِقِ الرَّسُولِ, who opposes the Prophet or the Messenger. But this mukhalif or opposition can be against a statement of the Sharia or against something that the Ummah agreed upon, that this is halal. So the Ummah, yani the ulama of the Ummah say this is halal, this is halal. This is haram, this is haram. Not one single alim come up and say this is haram and majority say halal. We go and take the haram or the opposite. No. The majority. The majority. Yani for example, Sheikh Albani rahimahullah, great imam, he said that the face of the woman must, yani it's not obligatory to cover. But when we come and see the number of ulama who say it is obligatory to cover, we find them much more. So why we choose this saying than that? Why? Besides, when you come to analyze the statements, you find those who say it is forbidden are more true and upon the right decision than the one who say it is not. Because as we said that the men are attracted to the face of women. Attracted to, and the adilla, the proofs and evidences for that are so huge, so many. From the Quran, and I'm wondering, how come the mother of believers is commanded to cover her face so the fitna doesn't come to the people? But other than them, are not supposed to cover. Subhanallah. How come? How come? Yani your mother should cover her face so that you don't get into the fitna. But your neighbor should not, because there is no fitna. How come? So Imam Ibn Qayyim, Imam Ibn Kathir rahimahullah ta'ala, said that this dispute from this man can be against the Quran and Sunnah or the ijma' of the Ummah, which is given to them as a guarantee from the wrong, because the whole ummah cannot agree about something wrong, or the majority of the ulama cannot agree about something wrong. So we need to be careful of whom we take our fatawa and whom we take our knowledge from, because this is very dangerous matter that been misused today. أسأل الله بمنه وكرمه أن يعلمنا وإياكم ما جهلنا من ديننا وأن يجعله حجة لنا لا حجة علينا والله أعلم وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وإياكم. Any questions? طيب سوي اشرب اشرب اشرب. One question? Hold on. Question? After we close the... Right.
What do you say when you hear a famous da'i? He's making statements that Sheikh Albani, rahimahullah ta'ala, made a mistake by using the word Salafi. And he made a mistake by making a group Salafi. And... we shouldn't be calling ourselves
Salafi.
What do you say to this person who is a famous
Da'i
of
present
time?
Three things. First, calling ourselves Salafis. Is this wrong or right? We ask this person. If he says it is wrong, we ask him, what do you want us to call ourselves? We ask him, what do you want us to call ourselves? If you don't want us to call ourselves Salafis, what do you want to call ourselves? Muslims? Okay. So anybody who is not, be with me please. By the, does he say that?
Yes, he said don't. He said
yes. By, no, no, no. Don't call yourself Salafi. Call yourself what?
He doesn't say.
He doesn't say? Because I hear something like that, they say, Allah and Rasulullah named us Muslims. So we only call Muslims. Right, okay. By that then we say, excuse me Mr. Tabligh, you are not Muslim. Excuse me Mr. Ikhwan, you are not Muslim, because he is calling himself other than what Allah and Rasulullah called us. Other than what this man said. I accept. I'm not going to call myself Salafi from now on. I'm going to call myself Muslim. But whoever gives his name, gives himself a name, like Ikhwani, Tablighi, Deobandi, this, I'll call him not Muslim. Upon this fatwa of this, as you say, famous da'i. So anybody wants to yani, discuss it, he goes to that famous da'i and asks him, why you took us out of Islam? Because he only directed to the people who call themselves Salafi, and he say, you should not say Salafi, dispute the ummah by calling yourself Salafi, mashallah. And those who call themselves Jama'at Islami, Tablighi, Ikhwani, Sufi, Rafidi, whatsoever, Deobandi, they did not dispute the Ummah, and they are still using the word Muslim. I don't know how come. And when you come to look to these names or nouns, whatsoever, take for example Tablighi. When this was innovated. Recently, maybe 300 years maximum, if we would say. Ikhwani, maybe 100 years, if we would say. Salafi, Ibn Taymiyyah used the word Salafi, so it is more than 700-800 years. So the recent brands are allowed, but the name that is made by the ulama of the Salaf, not made by meaning innovated, but it is an Arabic word the people use, the Arab use it. Salafi, This ya in Salafi is exactly like Nam?
My.
La, not mine.
My. It's possessive.
Yeah, it's a possessive. It's like, for example, you say Madani, meaning from Medina. Hindi, meaning from India. Pakistani, meaning from Pakistan. So this ya means you refer back to this either country or people. I am Maliki. This ya at the end means I am from the tribe called Malik. So who say he is Salafi means he links himself to the Salaf, meaning the pious predecessors, who are Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the companions, the tabi'een, etc. And all the ulama take their ilm from. Now this is one. So we began from the end. Calling ourselves Salafis. I again repeat what I said. If you have a contact with this da'i, tell him please, Muhammad al-Malik is asking you, is it okay to call the tablighi kafir or non-Muslim? Because I'll call myself Muslim. I remove word Salafi, but I'll call myself Muslim. Right? I never remove word Muslim, but according to him, stop calling myself Salafi. Like, what is the ruling now upon those who call themselves Tablighis, Ikhwanis? Does this Da'i say that these are not Muslims? I want him to make them hear it from him. Because we, the Salafis, never ever name Tablighi non-Muslim or Ikhwani non-Muslim. We say they are Muslims. We say they are Muslims, but they have innovated. They came up with bid'ah in the deen. But yet, we never say that they are not Muslims. And I don't know any alim who say that the Tablighis or Ikhwanis are not Muslims. Any Salafi alim, I never heard that. They say they are prawns, they are abun bid'ah, but they never said that they are not Muslims. And Sheikh Rabi', for example, was asked about Sayyid Qutb. Is he a Muslim or not? He said, we never say he's not Muslim. He said, we never say he's not Muslim. But to say he's Muslim, it does not mean that he is not on bid'ah, he's not mubtada. He's Muslim, but mubtada. So we want to say we don't like the bid'ah. We distinguish ourselves with the bid'ah by saying we are followers of the Salaf. Simple. Simple. I don't know why they are annoyed with this. He said Sheikh Albani was wrong by
using the word
Salafi. Using the word Salafi. This is refuted. Khalas. And by the way, this da'i. Maybe he's a da'i, but I don't know how much ilm does he have. It's not Albani who said Salafi, used the word Salafi. Albani reported this, that Sheikh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah. Unless if he said that Sheikh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah was wrong.
So he said Sheikh Albani is the one who started this group.
Then he doesn't know nothing. Then he doesn't know nothing. This is miskeen. Right? And he said what?
That's what he was saying.
No, three, I have only done two. The first one.
The first one is that the word Salafi is a mistake for yourself. Second, Sheikh Albani is the one who was all along started this group.
Yeah, this one I wanted to. Group. I wish that this Sa'da'i show me where is this group. Where is their center? Who is their leader? I wish that he showed me. Because I never come to know that. If he has, but I can't show him where the Ikhwan Muslimin and their building in Cairo and every capital, and I can't show him where the Tabligh and how their gatherings, I can't show him that. Even the Diobandis, the Shia, wherever he wants to go, I'll take him to show him. But this miskeen says that the Salafis are a group. Where is this group? Can he please show me that? No.
Finally, second part of the same question. There are some brothers that would say, do not expose this famous day because he brings a lot of people into Islam. He brings people from Asia, the continent, Africa and America, give them dawah, they become Muslim. So don't say that this is what he believes of Salafiyah. Just keep quiet because he brings a lot of good into Islam.
If he said that in one small sitting, then don't. Now, if he said that in a small sitting, then don't expose it to a public. But if he said it to a public sitting on ear, then please don't take it to Uranus or the moon. Keep it on the ear. Okay? And he says whatever he say, he wants to say on the member, but when we want to refute it, we should whisper to each other. What is that? It says, honor more worthy than the religion, that is wondering. And if they say that, it means that they know that he's wrong. So why don't they go to him and tell him, Akhi, you're wrong. And instead of telling this guy who wants to bring the evidences for that to clarify his mistakes, they tell him, please don't bring the evidences. Because he's bringing people to Islam. And to which Islam? The Dubandi Islam? The Sufi Islam? The Rabbit Islam? The Ikhwani Islam? Which Islam? We don't know. Because he wants us to be all one, under one umbrella. No. That's it. Abu Hadi.
What are the descriptions of conditions for someone to become a scholar? Because many people in this day and time, they claim that individuals are scholars or Talabic or Da'i. So what's the description of someone to be a
scholar? Actually, what's the truth for someone to be a scholar?
Shuf. Two types of people who look to this person. Tulab al-ilm and ulama in one side and the awam in other side. The awam cannot recognize. Whatever shurut you give them, they cannot use it. So we cannot say, okay, awam, these are the shurut. And if we say, if he speaks by Quran and Sunnah, even the Shia come up and say, Quran and Sunnah. Then, oh, mashallah, this is the alim. Malki said that anybody say Quran Sunnah is Allah. La, this is not the way. The alim, as Shaykh ibn Azami rahimahullah was asked this question, who is the alim? He said that the alim, who the ulama of his time witnessed that he is the alim. Simple. And they take him as the alim. But this does not mean that this alim cannot make mistake. As we saw, that all the ulama of the eve witnessed that Shaykh Albani is alim. No one can say he's not alim, but Sheikh Albani has mistakes. All the ummah agrees that Sheikh Ibn Baz is alim. No one says that he's not alim, but Sheikh Ibn Baz has mistakes. Sheikh Azimina is the same. Oh, wait, watch what you say. Here are some boundaries you cannot exceed, Mr. Malki. Who you are to say Albani has mistakes, Ibn Baz has mistakes, Azimina has mistakes. Then please explain to me the two different opinions of Albani and Ibn Baz, two different opinions of Albani and Uthaymeen, two different opinions of Ibn Baz and Uthaymeen. Are both correct and the haqq is one? So one of them must be wrong. Simple. One of them must be wrong. And this is the nature of human. They can make mistakes. They will have to make mistakes. How much yani care they give not to make mistakes, they yet will make mistakes. No one is free of mistake, as the Prophet ﷺ said. But no one of them took the other out of Salafia because of the mistake. No one. Why? Because there are mistakes that takes you only out of the, you know, the right position or right fiqh. And there are statements that takes you out of Salafiyya. And there are mistakes that takes you out of Islam. They are all not all the same. Out of Salafiyya, when you come up with an innovation or a saying of the Khawarij or like that, or an innovation, then he is out of Salafiyya but not out of Islam. Right? When he brings a statement that is kufr, then he's out of Islam. If he says no problem to ask whatever you need from the wali who's in the grave, then he's out of Islam. Finish. Because this is kufr. This is kufr. But this cannot be treated all the same. The ulama will know the alim by his statements, his researches, his books. They know it. Exactly like one of the salaf was asked, how do you, al-hadith, differ between the hadith sahih and hadith da'if? What is the criteria? So, the alim said to him, okay, go to the smith, the goldsmith, and ask him, how can he know the fake gold and the pure gold? It's not a criteria, but it is an experience. When you live with the ilm for a long period, and that is what Allah Ta'ala named in the Quran, وَالرَّاسِخُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ. رَاسِخُونَ means those people who spend their lives seeking knowledge. These are the ones who can know, this is alim, this is not alim, this statement right, this statement wrong. These are the people. But for someone who just come to Islam, who just come to Salafiyya, who just come to studying the knowledge, he just spent 1 or 2 years or even 10 years, but studying very yani basic. He wants to be, mashallah, yani, a alim, and he start now to debate, and that's wrong. That's wrong. Wallahu a'lam. No.
You mentioned that you put the ulama as a product on the one side and the imam on the other side. And you said the imam couldn't recognize the criteria.
No.
And how did now the imam responsible for not taking on the issues that you mentioned today? For example, if they see a man on a TV as a butcher, and all they know that he's a scholar. He's on the TV, people see him as a scholar, and he says these things. Are there one blameworthy that they're not able to recognize the criteria for a scholar?
I wish this awam did not see Sheikh Albani, because he never had ghutra, he never had bisht. Otherwise they would say he's not alim, don't take from him. We said there is no criteria for the awam. The only reference for the awam to know with the alim from who's not alim is what the ulama say. If the ulama agreed that this one is alim, then he's alim. But again, it does not mean that he does not make mistakes. Even if the ulama, all the ulama agree, we know that Ahmad, Shafi'i, Malik, Abu Hanifa were great imams. But everyone has his own mistakes. Everyone has his own mistakes. And everyone has said at least for once that the other is wrong. Aisha radiallahu anha said that Ibn Umar is wrong. She said Ibn Umar was wrong in one mas'ala. So this is Ibn Abbas was saying to the people, Yushik an tanzil alaykum hijara min as-sama'. It is about that yani Allah Ta'ala shower you with stones from the heavens. I say Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you say Abu Bakr and Umar said, yani Ibn Abbas is Ibn Abbas. Umar ibn Khattab had a mistake and he returned back and the like. So it does not mean that he's alim, so it does not make mistake. No, he can make mistake. But how the ammi differ between who is alim, who is not alim, this, the ammi has to go back to the ulama. If he doesn't have ulama, if he doesn't see an ulama, then khalas, this is the ijtihad. He takes from him, and the sin, if there is a sin, upon the one who gave him this fatwa. But if this ammi can reach the ulama and ask them, I live in this place, who the ulama I can go back to? If they say to him, we don't know no ulama in that place, then he does not say, oh, I will take so and so as the alim. Then this is his mistake. Then this is his mistake. But to give him a criteria or descriptions of an alim, and he go and analyze, oh, step one, yeah, I can see it. Oh, he wears gutra. If he is white gutra, like the Rafida. The turban black has different meaning from the white, or no. And then he comes, oh, Albani with kufi only, he is a student. Now, as I mean with white, is level 2. Oh, Ibn Baz with red, this is number 1. Nah, this is wrong. We don't have like that. We don't have like that. Even the bish color doesn't mean nothing. Because some people think like the Rafida does. To the Rafida, they have their own criteria. Because they are all wrong. From A till Z. None of them is alim. Or they may have ilm but false ilm. So they are ulama dalala. Doesn't make difference. But the ulama of haq, we never come to know any criteria since the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam until now to differ between alim level 1, alim level 2, alim level 3. We don't have that. We don't have that. We know the alim is alim as the ulama agree that he is alim. No.
In Saudi Arabia,
no.
It's easier because there are many
scholars. I think so. Wallahi, I think so. All my khutbah today was about it.
I know. But for brothers who would have been other than another and some other Muslims which have known scholars, how are they supposed to now recognize? And I get their questions asked, but sometimes it's not so easy to bring up the Mufti from England and ask them a question. First of all, you have to understand that the Mufti from Muslim side really can answer questions. If you're from there one and you're living in England, for example, then we see many people on Islam channel or whatever it is. How is that person supposed to recognize someone who was calling?
There are two types. Look, there are two types of questions. There is a question that does not or cannot wait and needs the answer now. It's alive or dead. Now. Then he does his best. If he cannot reach any alim, he asks any talib al-ilm or local student of knowledge. But if the question can be, the answer can be delayed, wait, no problem. So he should wait. He should wait. He cannot say, no, I have to go now and have to have the answer now. And when he has a question like that, Alhamdulillah, today there is no excuse. Even the Mufti and the major scholars, they have their own website, which is only for fatwa. Only for fatwa. It is available on the internet. They just put their question in whatever language they have, and the ulama have their own translators, they translate it to them, get the answer, translate the answer, and send it back to them. Alhamdulillah. Very simple. But people make it difficult. Oh, I don't have internet. Living in the UK, I don't have internet. Okay, no problem. Call, he doesn't answer. And he wants to make it difficult. Otherwise, it's simple. Go to the embassy. The embassy, there is what they call it a religious attaché. Every Saudi embassy. They write the question officially, stamp it and send it to the Mufti in Riyadh. And the answer comes back to you, officially. What else do you want? But people don't want to go and ask. They just want, as I said in the khutbah, people want someone to answer them who can tell them yes. That's it. They want it. And they know if they go to the Mufti, the Mufti say no. So they don't want to go to the Mufti. That's the problem. Now,
related to what you were saying, maybe I'm mistaken.
I said so many things.
Yeah, regarding the last point, regarding the ulama, maybe it's my mistake, they don't have levels, but isn't that in the Sharia that we must know who the ulama, obviously there are different levels of ulama, for example.
No, there are different levels, but I said there is no criteria for each level. So the awam know. Like the Shia, they do have. They have color of turban, color of abaya, this.
Okay, the
outer period. And the Sufis, they have. When you see the big alim doesn't pray, you know that he's the top one. He's the top one because he's close to Allah. So he is now excluded from the ruling of praying. And yani, you have to know that he now, he don't think bad about him. He don't think that he did not pray. Although he's sitting in front of you, but how do you know he's praying behind Sidis in Mecca? Yeah? But this, alhamdulillah, we don't have in the ulama of Sunnah, Salafiyun, as they call them. Another question? I have?
Just regarding the issue that when you mentioned about some ulama, they have mistakes.
Nah.
What we will discover sometimes, the issue is actually who can say that these ulama have mistakes. It's basically people who have knowledge, because sometimes you find people who are awam, yeah, and they say Sheikh Al-Albani, they're never to the state of Sheikh Al-Albani, but they will say Sheikh Al-Albani made a mistake. So the reference should be really put back to the ulama, that they say, oh, Sheikh Al-Albani has made a mistake, and therefore Sheikh Al-Albani has made a mistake.
Look, before I answer this question, I say there are many medicine doctors, and some are very well-known professors. Right? Can these professors make mistake? Yes. Who can say they make mistake? Someone who's in their level. Right? But there are mistakes who even the custodian of the hospital, the cleaner, can say this professor make mistake. If you see a professor smoking, anybody, even the guy who cleaned the hospital, can say this professor made a mistake, because this is common. Everyone knows. When you see the professor using, let's say for example, an injection which is thrown in the waste basket, he took it back, and you who do not know nothing about medicine saw him like that, you will say, oh, he's wrong, I'm not going to take it. No. Because this is something very simple. Everyone can know that this is wrong. But if he bring a new, brand new injection and just took it from the bag, you say, no, this is not the proper one. It should be the one with this characteristics. How do you know it? This needs someone who's in his level to know. Right? Now, something can be known very easily. Yani, let's say example, just example. And I'm afraid that someone hear it on the internet and then cut here and here and take it and say, look, Mark, what he says about Ibn Baz. Let's say now, example, Ibn Baz say the khamr is halal. Does it need a great alim to refute it? No, akhi. Anyone can refute this. Because Allah said in the Quran, it is haram. Simple. Yani, if he said this is halal, khamr is halal, and I say it is haram, one come to me and say, who you are to say Ibn Baz wrong? I say, I am Muhammad al-Maliki, and I say he's wrong. If he says khamr is halal, I say he's wrong. Because Allah Ta'ala said it is haram. Very simple. But when it comes to issues that only known by the ulama, this hadith is da'if, this hadith is sahih, how come we know that? How come we? Sheikh Albani, rahimahullah, a young talib al-ilm, he was in his 20s that time, found the Sheikh authenticated hadith which is not supposed to be authenticated. And he wrote to the Sheikh all details of why he said that. The Sheikh sent him a letter of appreciation that the Ummah has someone like him in his age, and he found this, and Sheikh corrected himself. Simple. Easy. If you are a specialist in this field, maybe if you are still very at the beginning, but you know the criteria of this field, that hadith sahih, hadith da'if, you know, there is a criteria for that. There is criteria for usul al-fiqh. There are criteria for tajweed. Each knowledge, each field of knowledge has its own criteria to know how these people give their ruling. But what we said, there is no criteria to distinguish between alim level 1, alim level 2, alim level 3. No, there is nothing like that. The ulama themselves, they know. Like what Imam al-Shafi'i, for example, said about Al-Layth ibn Sa'd, the Imam of Egypt. He said, Al-Layth ibn Sa'd was abun more fiqh than Malik. So he's alim, Shafi'i's Imam. He's in their level. So he can give this ruling and judgment. But for one, like me, I would never ever come to reach that level to say that statement, to make that statement. So that is how we can and distinguish. But who just say Albani is wrong? Okay, wrong why? Show us wrong why. Or wrong because he says this. Okay, why you say wrong? He said it is the truth because of this, this, this. What are the evidences of your statement? Support your statement. Oh, I don't have, but it is wrong. It is wrong. Then it is as Sheikh Abdullah al-Ghudayyan, Habibullah, said one day in one of his lectures, in one of the seminars here in Jeddah, that was very long ago. When first day came after Fajr, and sat down on the chair and started speaking, he mentioned a hadith. A young boy, maybe like this gentle boy, raised his hand and insulted the Sheikh. The Sheikh thought there's something. He said, yes, what? He said, Sheikh, this hadith is da'if. The Sheikh said, da'if is you, sit down. The weak is you, sit down. Yeah, because this boy cannot know like that. Maybe he read in the book of Sheikh Albani, Sisrat al Da'ifa, this hadith is da'if. Khalas, he took it. Sheikh Albani is Bashar, is human. Many hadith Sheikh Albani said da'if, and then he found that they are at least Hassan, and he returned back. And many hadith said he said it is sahih, and then he found them not sahih for a defect. And there are books of that, and this does not make him little. He did his ijtihad, alhamdulillah. Sheikh Albani himself, when he says sahih and da'if, you think that he did not name no one wrong? Yeah, he says that Malik is wrong when he took this hadith of sahih. Malik. Where is Albani from Malik? And no one said, oh, why Albani is saying that about Malik? Because this is the end. This is the way of end. If you present what you have with the evidences, khalas, alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Now. Khalas?